Well, hey, good morning, Friendship. I hope you have had a great weekend so far. We're going to turn you loose here in just a little bit as we wrap up this series, Huge Mistakes Every Parent Makes. And we have spent the last 4 weeks talking about the things that we as parents often do. And we do them out of love. You know, we don't want our kids to experience pain. And so out of love, we make decisions and we try to protect them from pain. But in reality, as we talked about in week one, sometimes protecting them from pain keeps them from understanding the consequences of the decisions that they make. Pain can be a great teacher, a great motivator. It can keep us from making bad decisions. So pain isn't always a bad thing. It doesn't mean you create pain in your child's life, but you sometimes allow it to come in so that they can learn from those things. Then we talked about the fact that we as parents want our kids to have a problem-free childhood. You're like, man, we don't want our kids to deal with these problems and deal with these things. And so out of love, often we swoop in and we solve the problem. But in reality, what we're doing is we're teaching them that really everything works out the way that you want to, because don't worry, mom and dad is going to be here to fix it if anything happens. And then real world hits and, you know, they go in a corner and crawl up in a ball and they can't deal with stuff because mom and dad have always fixed it for them. We're like, man, you know, let your kids struggle through some of those things. Then last week we talked about permanently fixed and the fact that when things come into our kids' lives and they struggle with something, we want to find the permanent solution to that issue, whatever that is. You know, whether that's something that they're struggling with personally or relationally, emotionally, physically, whatever, we want to find the permanent fix. But the problem is that things are going to keep happening in life. Life doesn't turn out the way that we want it to on a regular basis. And so if they don't learn how to navigate through those things, learn how to process through them, learn how to fix issues themselves no matter what comes their way, then we're, again, setting them up for a really difficult future in doing that. And today, we're talking about how we as parents, out of love, want to set our kids up with a perfect future. I mean, just perfect future. We want to have it all laid out for them. Some of you, you know, you just had kids. We had, what, like 18 kids born this last year or something like that. And, you know, you as parents, like, you're like, listen, not only did I do the scrapbook for now, I have the scrapbook of the future. And here's what they're going to do. Your life, you know, they get old enough to read, and you're like, here's your life plan. I've created it for you. Because we want to do this for our kids. We want to have this perfect future. Well, today's Memorial Day, okay? Memorial Day is the day that we as a nation pause and we remember all of those who gave their life in defense of our country. And so we pause and we remember the things of our past. We remember the fact that freedom is not something that just comes easily. Freedom is not a free thing. It's something that we have to fight, struggle to not only get, but then struggle to maintain and hold on to as a nation. But I think it's also good for us as individuals and as human beings to have these moments where we pause and we look back at our life. And we look at the struggle that we've gone through in life and the things that we thought were going to happen at this point in time that aren't happening at this point in time. The things that we planned out in our life that we said, oh, this is what it's going to look like, and it doesn't look like that. In fact, let me just ask you really quickly, everyone just take just a few seconds and allow your life, as far as you can remember, probably back about 3 years old, those of you that are my age or older, maybe it's more like 13 years old that we can remember back to, but try to remember back, okay, and all the things that you dreamed about as a kid. And then as a high schooler, what you dreamed about and what you wanted to do. And then if you went to college, like, oh, what's funny, it's like 75% of people that go to college do not actually do the thing that they have the degree in. And then you got married and you're like, oh, marriage is going to be wonderful. It is. I think it's wonderful. Some of you are messed up and have issues. But hey, you know. I mean, that we look at those things, we're like, yeah, how many of you, your life has worked out exactly the way that you planned it when you were 17 years of age? Anybody? Okay, good. See, here's the thing. You can't even plan out your own future, yet you keep trying to plan out your kids. Think about that for a second. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to wake up tomorrow. Not meaning to be, like, morbid or anything, but you have no idea what tomorrow's going to look like. I mean, for crying out loud, your life is more unpredictable than a meteorologist that lives in the state of Indiana. You have no idea what's going to happen next. I mean, that's just the way that it is. Look what the Bible says, James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. James is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. He says, look here, you who say today or tomorrow we're going to go to a certain town and we'll stay there for a year and we will do business there and we'll make a profit. And he says, look, okay, I'm a planner by nature. Anybody here a planner, a strategy type person? Now, I'm not talking about like spreadsheet every hour of the day. I'm like big picture planning, that type of thing, okay? You're like, you think about those things and you plan and you come up with an idea and a strategy. Now, God does not say those things are bad. In fact, the Bible says that God himself is a planner. But here's the problem in this statement. He says, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to stay there for a year, and we're going to make profit. Then we're going to make money. And he goes this. He says, listen, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Forget the year from now. How do you know what your life is going to be like tomorrow? Now, those of you that are like super spreadsheet people, like every half hour of every day is, you know, there's a thing for it, and there's an app that reminds you what you're, because you don't want to be behind schedule. Every day you live behind schedule, don't you? Because something happens. You're getting ready to walk out the door, and somebody comes to your door and knocks and goes, hey, I have an issue that I need to talk with you about. And you're like, oh, my schedule. Because everything changes in life. We can't control anything. There's so much in our world that we can't control and we can't make happen one way or the other. It just is the way that it is. And so instead of thinking that we can control everything, James says, listen, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. So he says this. He says, your life, now here you talk about morbid, your life is like the morning fog. It's here for a little while, then it's gone. We in Indiana know about fog, right? Springtime and fall, the rain comes, the ground is super soaked, you get up in the morning, and you can't see your front porch. Yet, by 10 o'clock, it's all gone because the sun's come up. He said, that's what your life is like. In fact, if you sleep in till 10 o'clock, you wouldn't even know that the fog was there. That's what he's going, this is what your life is like. You know, we think we have these massive significance and all that stuff, but here's the reality. Is that our life is like the morning fog. It's there and then it's gone. He says, so, here's what we need to do. We ought to instead say, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and we will do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. I played sports all through high school. Caitlin played sports a little bit when she was younger. Georgia is a swimmer. And so I have been around sports and sport parents my whole life. I have seen so many professional players who were in fifth grade. It was amazing. Just amazing how amazing these kids are. And you know, it's like, but we laugh at that. And some of you are like, no, I don't laugh at that. That's serious. I'm my kid. I listen, you know. But here's the thing, we those of us who have, you know, get enough sleep at night, we look at that and we laugh. And we're like, man, take a chill pill, relax. It's, you know, it's three-year-old soccer. He's, you know, the bicycle kicks aren't going to happen. That's just the reality. And yet, we look at this and we go, huh, crazy people. But in certain areas, we all do it. It depends upon the area where God has made us unique and special and that type of thing. And we create these unbelievable plans, and we think this is what we're going to do, and we're going to go here, we're going to do this, and we create these elaborate things. And James says, listen, there's nothing wrong with that, but here's the problem. At no point in time have you stopped and gone, okay, God, this is what I'm thinking, but it's really all up to you. Now, here's the scary part. That's exactly what he wants us to do with our kids. He's like, okay, God, this kid that's been in my house, they've got issues because they're my kid. Part of it is because they're my kid. Part of it's because, well, you know, the person I married. But these are just my kids, right? I'm not talking about me personally. I'm saying us as individuals. And I know they've got these issues, but I think they've got these unique and special gifts. And so, God, I pray that you would work through my child. I pray that you would take my child. And God, whatever plans I have up in my head, your plans for them supersede my plans for them, because you are their ultimate father, and I give them over to you. That's what God wants us to do. Because we spend as parents, and unfortunately in our day and age, it's gotten even crazy. I mean, the fact that like kids are born and they start trying to get them into a certain preschool or into a certain private school or into a certain college or whatever, it's just nuts. Because we're planning their future for them. So here's the big idea. If you forget everything else I say, everything kind of flows off of this. Instead of worrying about their future and stressing out, here's what I think we need to do. We need to prepare our kids for the future, not the future for our kids. We need to prepare our kids. We need to equip our kids to handle whatever the future may be. Instead of trying to create and craft this perfect future for them, this perfect world for them to grow up in, because the reality is our world isn't perfect. It doesn't matter how hard you try to make your kid the greatest wonderful thing in the world and create this wonderful future for them. They are individuals and they're going to make choices and they're going to go a different path more than likely than you think they're going to go. That's hard to take, but it's also the way that God created them, because he created you unique and special and diverse as well. So instead of stressing out all about our kids' future, how about we spend more time preparing our kids to handle whatever direction that God sends them in. Psalm 127, 3 through 5 says this. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Some of you need to get that on a 3x5 card. Just to keep it with you near when you're driving your kids in the car and they're driving you nuts and you just need to flip down your visor that says, children are a gift from God, a reward from him. And that can have two meanings, by the way. That can be like, oh, God has blessed me with these kids. And it's like, oh, I know why I have these kids. All that stuff I did when I was a teenager, that's why I have these kids. It's a reward for all the things that you've done. But it says, listen, they're a reward from him. And he says, children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. What the psalmist is saying is this. He's like, listen, your children, they're a gift from God. God has given you them specifically to you because you are the perfect person. You're the perfect parent to parent them. God put them in your home and under your care because you are the one that he has called to parent them. And then he kind of switches it up on us. He goes, but listen, you got to understand the purpose of children. The purpose of children is just like an arrow in a quiver. The only time an arrow becomes effective is when it's what? Shot out, when it's released. The whole purpose, some of you are like, no, the whole purpose of parenting is to get to the point where you let them go. Now, just like with that, I love bow hunting. I love doing it. I picked it up about 5 years ago, and I just love doing it. One of the things I've learned is that you can have the best bow in the world, but if your arrow is crooked, you're not going to hit anything. You see, the whole purpose of an arrow is to fly straight. And God says, your children are a gift of God, a reward to you, and they're like an arrow. So your job as a parent is to help them be the best arrow they can possibly be, because one day God's going to take them out of your quiver, put them in his bow, and turn them loose. That's what God's purpose is. And here's the thing. We can spend all sorts of time making a fancy target that we want to shoot our kids at, their future. Or we can go, you know what? God's in charge of all of that. I'm going to simply help my kid be prepared for whatever God has for them. And that's our job. So three ways we can prepare our kids for the future, for their future, for God's future for them. First of all, let their dreams be their dreams. Let their dreams be their dreams. I don't know. It's been enough that it's bothersome. And sometimes it's overt and you can see it. Sometimes it's more subversive, and even the people that are doing it don't realize it. But often, as parents, we project onto our kids the things that we wish we would have done. For example, I wish I would have played this sport, so I'm going to push you to play that sport. I wish I would have gotten better grades in school, so I'm going to push you to get better grades in school. I wish that I wouldn't have married so early. I'm going to push you to wait and hold off to get married until, you know, you're 45 years of age. I didn't graduate college, so I'm going to push you to graduate college. I didn't do this, and so what we do is we project our dreams, or really the regrets from our dreams, onto our kids so that we can vicariously live through their success. And you stop and you think about it and you realize that a lot of us do it in all sorts of different ways. And so we need to, as parents, we're going to prepare our kids for their future. We need to let their dreams be their dreams instead of trying to make our dreams reality through them. Look what the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 1, then we're going to skip to verse 7. Paul is talking, he says, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of what? Your calling. He's not saying, listen, I beg and I plead you to live a life worthy of my calling. No, he says, your calling. Because here's the thing, we're going to do a series this summer called The Calling. And the reality is that each and every one of you, the moment that you accept Jesus Christ, something becomes effective in your life. And it becomes the call of God on your life. God has something unique that he wants you to do and achieve in this life. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is when King David died. And it said he lived his purpose in his generation and then he died. That was it. When he had accomplished what God had called him to do, God's like, all right, time to come home because you've done what I've called you to do. See, I believe each and every person, God has implanted within them a dream or a calling to accomplish something. And that when we accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit awakens that within us. And there becomes a change that begins to happen. And our dreams begin to change to conform to the image of Christ and what he wants us to do and what he wants us to accomplish. And if as parents we are constantly projecting our dreams or the regrets of not fulfilled dreams onto our kids, we are literally extinguishing the dream that God's placed in their hearts to accomplish. And so Paul says, let's get this out of the way. I beg you to live your calling. And then he continues. He says, for you have been called by God. And then skip to verse 7. And he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. You see, not only did God call you to do something, but he has given you the ability to complete that calling, to accomplish that dream that God's placed in your heart. Now, when I say dream, I want to be very careful. Because dream can be a whole lot of things. You can like, I had pizza with anchovies last night, and I had this dream. That's not from the spirit. That's from the nasty fish you ate. That's what that's from. And so we always have to temper the dreams that we have with the teaching of the Word of God, because that is primary. That has to be first. Everything that we think and do and live, like we talked about last week, has to be filtered through the Word of God. And so when you have a dream, you got to go, okay, does that line up with God's calling? Does that line up with what God says is a part of what his plan is for this world and my life? And you go, yeah, it does. And that's the time you can go, I think this is what God's called me to do. Go for it. Now, let's finish this real quickly because we're going to get into the second one here, because I think it's important that we realize that God has implanted those dreams. And so as parents, we need to encourage them to dream so big that they cannot accomplish it without God. Because God doesn't give tiny dreams. You go, well, I don't know about that. I do. God asked Noah to build an ark. If God came to you and says, I'd like you to build an ocean liner today, you'd be like, come on, God. He's like, no, seriously. You're like, seriously? Yeah, I'd like you to build an ocean liner today. All right. How long would that take? Well, start today. We'll see. God asked David to take out a giant. God asked Peter to walk on water. God loves to give us impossible dreams that we go, how are we ever going to do this? And God goes, exactly, you cannot do it without me. Encourage your kids to dream the dreams that God has given them, that without God it's impossible to fulfill. But the second part, it's really important because it pairs with this, is not only do we have to let their dreams be their dreams, but we have to speak even the hard truth into their life. We have to speak even the hard truth into their life. I know it's very popular. It's on commercials. It's on news, stories. It's, whatever. You can do anything you can put your mind to. No, you can't. You're like, did you just limit my child? Listen, your child is 5'3". They're not going to play in the NBA. Oh, but let me tell you should see their ball handling skills. It doesn't matter. The guys in the NBA who are ball handler skills are 6'5". That's 2 inches taller than me, and they're fast and thin and in shape. They could really jump. Okay, don't tell them they can do anything, because here's what's going to happen. They'll pursue everything, and they'll accomplish nothing. You need to speak the truth into their life. Because if they're like, I'm going to be a poet, dun, 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 and they start writing poetry, and nothing rhymes, you're like, well, it doesn't always have to rhyme. It doesn't have rhythm either. It doesn't match, and the words are constantly misspelled. You might want to go, honey, I don't know maybe not. Maybe there's something else that God has for you. Maybe there's something else that God wants for you. Well, that's not kind. Actually, it's incredibly kind, because they won't be wasting their time pursuing something that God never called them to. Because what God calls you to, he equips you to accomplish. Look at this, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 15. It says this: then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. Paul says, listen, we need to understand what the truth is. He just got done talking about doctrine and teaching and who God is and the understanding of Scripture. He says, when you understand those things, you begin to be mature. I remember when I was younger and I was in high school, a guy taught me this really cool trick, and I'll use the bottle cap for this. And basically, like, hey, look at, he used a quarter. He carried candy in his pocket too, so it's a little weird. But anyways, He says, this is a quarter. He says, watch really quickly, okay, look. And I'm going to take it in this hand, it's gone. And when I was a kid, I was like, and they would reach in my ear and go, oh, look, there's the quarter. Now, all of you, I'm assuming, when I did that, didn't go, he made the quarter disappear. Because you knew that I just simply dropped it into my hand, and it was really bad, too, at that point in time. Everyone over here saw it drop into my hand as I did that. You weren't tricked by it. Why? Because you're a grown-up adult. That doesn't fool you anymore, because you've learned the truth. People have spoken truth into your life. If you don't learn to speak the hard truth into your kids' lives, they will constantly grow up either being fooled by their own self-importance and worth and how wonderful they are. You see them on the first round of American Idol usually. Or they will constantly be deceived and manipulated and tricked and lied to by the world, because they never learned how to spot the truth, because mom and dad never spoke the hard truths to them. It's important for us, if we're going to equip them, prepare them for their future, that we speak even the hard truths. That's very important to notice that Paul says, speak the truth in love. Don't take your kid to a basketball game and their dream is to be in the NBA, and you sit next to them and you watch the NBA go, son, you see how good they are? You will never be that good. That's not speaking it in love. So we need to learn how to speak the truth in love, and maybe help go, listen, we see this in you. We see your talent. We see your passion. That's the area. That's the direction we want you to go in. And do that. So not only do we have to let their dreams be their dreams and speak even the hard truth in their life to prepare them for their future, but lastly, we need to encourage them to stoke their passions. Encourage them. I'm going to cough here, Patrick, so if you can mute me for just a second. Let's have a hand for Patrick. it's okay. It's okay. So we need to encourage them to stoke their passions. You see, not only does God, I believe, call and put a dream in our hearts, but I believe that God takes a divine ember, for lack of a better way to put it, and places it deep within us. And you've probably experienced it yourself, and you didn't even know it. You did something that you've never done before, and while you were doing it, you were like, man, I never felt so alive. Oh my word, I love doing that. That made me, oh man. And you couldn't stop talking about it. Like, oh my word, that is when the divine ember that God placed within you became stoked by the things that you were doing. And there was a connection that took place. You're like, man, I don't know why. I love this so much. Paul, again, writing to his son in the faith, his disciple, the guy that he had mentored since really his teenage years, Timothy. And he writes in 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7, he says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. I want you to picture this for a moment in your mind. Your child, your gift from God, the arrow that you're supposed to straighten out so it'll just fly straight. God put a dream inside of them, a calling, like tinder for a fire. But then God also took a passion, a divine ember of passion and excitement for something, and he placed it inside that. If you are careful to watch and listen to the voice of God in your life and watch your child as they grow, you're going to spot those things. You're going to see those things that just light their life up. And your job as a parent is to take that in your hands and to just speak that encouragement into their life. To blow on that divine ember that's wrapped inside the tinder of the dream that God had given them. Until you can stoke it to the point where they go, man, I can do nothing else except this that God has called me. That's your job. So as a parent, and as we wrap up this series, man, my challenge to you, stop worrying about their future. You have no control over that. You have no control over it. It would be nice to be able to do that, wouldn't it? Well, listen, here we're going to lay out your entire future for you. If you vary from this plan, we have implanted in your neck a device. And it will shock you. That's just the way that it is. We love you, son. But it doesn't work that way. But if you, as a mom and dad, will take the time to learn who God created your children to be, to find what those dreams are that they've planted, that God's planted in their heart, to stoke their passion, to speak the truth to them in love, then you can create with them a burning fire and a passion to follow God And the amazing thing is, and here's the crazy part. They are going to follow and worship God differently than you do. And that's okay. You go, I don't think that's okay. It is okay. And here's why. Because when you encourage them to pursue who God made them to be, it enlivens their spirit. It unleashes their soul. It creates a craving in their hearts to know more of God, not less of God. God has created each of us unique, and how we worship Him and how we pursue Him is inextricably linked to His calling and His purpose and the passion that He's put inside of us. Because worship is not a song. Worship is your life. And how you pursue God is going to be how you worship Him. Some of you are going to worship Him because you become a great artist. Some of you are going to worship Him because you become a great musician. Some of you are going to worship Him because you can become the best electrician that the world has ever seen. Some of you worship Him because you're going to be a great driver. Or you're going to be whatever. Because as long as you do it within the context of the dream that God's placed in your heart and the passion and the ember that He's placed within you, you are living a life of worship. Let's pray. Father God, oh, we thank You so much, God, for the children that You've given us, that You've given each and every one of them unique dreams, abilities, passions. God, I thank You that You have given those children to us. And how important it is, God, that You have placed them in our care because they are exactly the people that You have called us to be. They're exactly the child that You've placed into our care. And God, we feel overwhelmed sometimes and probably ill-equipped to be the parent that You've called us to be. But God, that's just like one of those big dreams that without You, we can't do it. And so God, in this moment, I pray for every mom and every dad that they would wrap their arms around this truth that that child is a gift from You. You knew who they were going to, and You made it happen. It was His intentional purpose. And so God, I pray that because You've called us to that, You will continue to equip us to accomplish it. And we know that that's true. We thank You for that. We don't even have to pray for it. We know it's true. We thank You for it. And God, for our children, help us open our eyes to see the dreams that You've put in them, the tender of the passion, the divine ember that You've placed inside their soul. And God, more than anything else, help us to be parents that stoke that, not quench it. Help us speak truth, but a truth that points them back to You, not to our desire. Because God, ultimately, they're a gift that You've given us for a short period of time. Our job is to get them straight, get the fletchings all the way that they're supposed to be and hand it back to You. And God, You turn them loose on the world. And we as mom and dads get to sit back and watch and revel in how awesome You are. We thank You for that. We pray this in Jesus' name.